today, August 19th. Appreciate excellent attendance by committee members. We're going to be going through the state lottery bonding bill and the lottery allocation bill. They'll be put in vehicles that you'll see before you that be entirely replaced by the new language. And we'll have staff go through this. There's no hurry today, so take your time. Make sure you're comfortable and understand everything. It's based on the public hearing, in large part, we had in Transportation Economic Development a month or two ago. And so there shouldn't be anything totally new here, but I want to make sure everyone understands what's going on. Let's start with House Bill 3446. Staff?
Yes. Committee members, I placed the copy before you of the original House Bill 3446. And this bill is the vehicle, as Senator Schrader indicated, for the lottery or for the bond capacity bill that was originally, the contents were in House Bill 2345. And I have placed the copy of that in front of you as well. When we get to adopting amendments, the contents of 2345 with seven changes will be placed into 3446. As I indicated, this is the bill that increases the aggregate amount of debt capacity for various types of debt. The general fund obligation bonds, dedicated fund obligations, revenue bonds, and certificates of participation. And then the second bill that we will take up today is House Bill 5067, which will also be a replacement of the contents of that, will be the lottery allocation bill. And it will make sense once we go through the bond capacity bill. It will give you the specific projects for which lottery funds will be allocated for the 03-05 biennium. The work that we're going to do in 3446 is almost entirely a reflection of the product of the Ways and Means subcommittees and the various budget adjustments they have made bond approved projects for various agencies. And in the memo that I provided you, it just outlines for you, for instance, the amendments that we will be amending into 3446, of which there are only seven. From the Department of Administrative Services and the Treasurer, there are representatives here today who will come and give a brief overview of the changes as well as what the governor's proposals were on the original bill, House Bill 2345. Greg Jeffries and Chuck Smith are here for that. As I indicated earlier, each of the changes were reflective of subcommittee actions that have already been taken and passed. Most of the budgets are, in fact, passed. So I will walk you through the memo once you've received the overview from DAS.
Why don't we have Greg and Chuck come on up to the dais, to the witness stand.
Greg's handout looks like this for you folks that I put so many pieces of paper in front of you on.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Greg Jeffrey. I manage the capital investment section of the Budget Management Division of DAS. I thought I'd just walk through the three sections that are now a part of House Bill 3446 to follow the order that Larry had laid out. Really what this handout does is highlight what the changes are that are being recommended to those particular aspects of the bill. The first one is in the general fund obligation section. The first authorization there is for Article 11G, bonds which are issued by the State Treasury for the Department of Higher Education. That amount is really a function of the work done by the legislature in reviewing House Bill 5028, which is the Higher Education Capital Construction Bill, and the related 11G bonds that have been identified as being necessary to move forward with those particular projects. And that recommendation is to reduce what was in the governor's recommended down to $56,700,000. The next item that's recommended to be changed is the Article 11H, which is the authority that Department of Environmental Quality has. Their request had been $6.6 million. That request was put together with the expectation that they could have organized a sale late in the 03-05 biennia. As it turned out, they hadn't met some federal requirements at that point, and so they deferred, you know, that sale into the 03-05 biennia, and as a consequence, they needed this limitation to be increased so they could move forward with that sale that was postponed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you explain what that is buying, what we're getting with that DEQ bond?
Mr. Chair, Senator, primarily those dollars are put out to make loans to local government sewage, you know, sewage projects.
Okay, thank you.
The third item on the list, which is Article 11L, is the final leg or phase of financing the $200 million grant that the state's making to the OHSU research facility. The change that's recommended is to increase what the governor's budget had recommended from $110 million up to $120 million. This is entirely a function of what was recommended in subcommittee, which was to capitalize the interest on these bonds, which had the bonds had originally been scheduled to be issued next month. Instead, what was recommended was the sale of the bonds be postponed until December of this year, and that instead of relying on tobacco settlement dollars to pay the debt service for the 03-05 biennia, that instead an additional amount of bonds be raised so that those dollars could pay the debt service and make that much in tobacco settlement dollars available for other purposes by the legislature.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffrey, going back to the first item, what was the governor's recommendation before the reduction?
$81.45 million. Senator Gordley.
Thank you.
To move on to the next page, this is another section which is dedicated fund obligations. this is referring to the Department of Higher Education's Article 11F, you know, authority. These bonds are required by the Constitution to be self-supporting.
A question, Senator Carter?
I'm sorry for being late. I mean, it was like a whole minute passed and I lost you. I didn't lose you, but when these bonds were first, the numbers were first put in here, one was 81.5, one was 6.5, something of that nature. What was the rationale for the increase in the bonding?
Mr. Chair.
Maybe I heard you wrong.
Senator Carter. Are you referring to the DEQ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the DEQ, in that instance, it's being recommended to be increased from 6.6 to 10 as a result of some projects that had originally been scheduled to be funded last biennia, but federal conditions had not been met for that to move forward, and so the request is being made so that those projects could still be financed.
And the Department of Ed?
And the Department of Higher Education.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct result, you know, of the subcommittee's review of House Bill 5028, which is the Higher Education Capital Construction Bill. So it's really a function of a variety of different changes that were made as part of that review process, mm-hmm. and ultimate decisions that ended up to require this level, you know, of financing for those bills and previously, you know, approved projects that had yet to be financed with this source. But because the plan is to issue them in this biennia, it's needed to be addressed as part of this bill.
Okay, and I apologize for going to sleep, and the Department of Admin.
In the case of the Department of Administrative Services, this is the final phase of the state's funding of the $200 million grant to the OHSU research complex?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Harper.
Senator. And that was originally 80, and we bumped it to 120.
Mr. Chair, Senator Harper,
so we wouldn't use
the OHSU authority was in the governor's budget at $110 million.
Okay.
The idea was so that we would not incur debt service this biennium, quite frankly. And so as a result, that the total additional bonds goes up a little bit, but we end up not having to incur the debt this biennium. We pay a little bit more next biennium.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I think we were on Article 11F, which, as I indicated earlier, are totally self-supporting. This recommendation followed the same course as the earlier description for higher education, Article 11G bonds. Again, the recommendations and the reviews as part of the higher education capital construction bill translated into, you know, this level of recommended 11F bonds for the biennium. The next category of bonds that need a change are an increase in the Department of Transportation highway user tax bond limit. These bonds that we're talking about have been authorized by the 2001 legislature, originally in the amount of $400 million. In the first special session, that amount was increased by another $100 million. About half of those bonds were issued in the 0103 biennia, about $221 million. Originally, when the governor's budget was put together, it was thought that as much as could be handled, you know, in 0305 in additional bond use was $175 million. But this change is being requested in an effort to try to accelerate making those dollars available so those projects can move at a faster pace. The second change to this direct revenue bond section has to do with the lottery revenue bonds, and the request is that the authority for the biennia be increased from what the governor's recommended amount had been, which is $18.5 million. To $132 million. The reasoning for that is the fact that several projects that had been authorized to be issued, you know, lottery bonds issued for last biennium, didn't go forward because certain conditions hadn't been met. In addition to that, some additional projects, which are addressed later in this bill, Section 3, have been recommended. The final element of this total debt level authorization request is for the certificates of participation program. The increase that's requested is to increase it to $201.9 million. And this is a result, you know, of various agencies, the statewide capital construction bill review process, recommendations recommending COP financing that will require this level. The next piece of the handout, final page, speaks to the elements of the lottery revenue bond authorization request for 2003-05 biennia. As I indicated earlier, there are a couple of projects that were authorized by the 2001 session to be financed with lottery bonds. Primarily, they were the Columbia River dredging, you know, project and a related small project. and the other project was the South Metro commuter rail project. Both of those projects, for different reasons, were the financing for them was postponed. This bill modifies some of that authority to update slightly, you know, some of the original authority that was in the original authorization for these bills. In addition to that, there are four authorities for new purposes, you know, or extended purposes to move forward during the 0305 session. The first one would raise $28.53 million for community infrastructure projects. This dollars would be available through the Department of Economic Development. The second one would raise $3.5 million in funds to provide assistance for improvements for some of Oregon's small ports. This would also be run through Economic Development Department. The third one would be an increase of what had been authorized in 0103, which had been, at that time, there was authority to raise $2 million for short rail projects. Those dollars had been raised and distributed through the Department of Transportation. This recommendation is requesting an additional $2 million for that same purpose. And finally, the other additional one would be to raise $8 million to make loans and grants for industrial rail spur projects. That would also be handled through the Department of Transportation. And one final point, when you step back and look at the entire lottery revenue bond authorization for the biennium, there's another project that was authorized and the lottery bond authority was made a part of House Bill 5028, which is the higher education capital construction bill. And that was authority to raise $10 million for signature research facilities among the Oregon university system. That's not included as authority, you know, in this particular bill. However, it is a part of the total lottery revenue bond authorization of $132 million. That's a part of Section 1 of this request. And that concludes my comments.
Question, Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For purposes of the channel deepening and the commuter rail projects, your language says this bill modifies the authority for issuing lottery bonds for these two purposes. What kind of modifications did you make?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, one of the changes was the fact that approximately $3 million in lottery revenues, you know, had been set aside in prior bienniums, which was an element that would be contributing, you know, toward this particular project. What was recommended, I believe, by the co-chairs, was that $3 million be dedicated to pay debt service, you know, on the lottery bonds, you know, during the 0305 biennia, and the level of lottery bonds for that particular project be increased. Okay. I would characterize that as the primary change. There may have been some other, there were some other technical changes that I may not be the best, you know, source of information, but economic development and port representatives are here that could address, you know, for you if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Jeffries? Mr. Smith, would you like to go ahead?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chuck Smith, and I'm Director of Debt Management at the Oregon State Treasury. Mine's a simple message here this afternoon, and that is that the Oregon revised statutes require that the treasurer provide advice to the governor on levels of bonding each biennium. And I'm here to say that these are certainly within that kind of level of bonding advice that the treasurer provides. So, and also to answer questions that anyone may have.
Any questions for Mr. Smith? Yes, Senator Gorbachev.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this may be a question for Mr. Jeffrey as well. I'm wondering if it would be accurate to say that the reductions in bonding authority for the Department of Higher Education are comparatively disproportionate when you look at the other bonding opportunities that are being increased or supported. Is that... do you have a comment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, I didn't witness or directly participate in the co-chair's review, you know, of this, you know, higher education capital construction, you know, bill, but the course that's generally followed is a great deal, you know, of information exchange and project description. You know, we went into arriving, you know, at these recommended levels.
If I could comment too.
Thank you.
Steve's here from the budget analyst for the higher ed department. He could probably, you know, summarize for you at least what the nature of the changes were from the bonding capacities. I assume you're referencing the change from 81 million down to 56.7 and just the character of the reduction.
I am. And okay. The question is frankly just occurring to me about the disproportionality. Maybe that's not an issue, but I'd like to hear it addressed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm Steve Bender, Legislative Fiscal Office. The changes that you see and that Mr. Jeffrey are referring to are the changes from the bill as it was introduced. I do not know exactly how the original figure got in there of, I believe it was the $81 million. What happened is that in the course of reviewing the capital construction budget, the Ways and Means Committee approved $10 million in Article 11G authority that was above the level in the governor's recommended budget. So even though there is a reduction here from the amount that was originally placed into House Bill 2345, it's somewhat misleading because the committee actually added Article 11G authority above the level that it was that was presented in the governor's balanced budget proposal. A similar thing happened in the Article 11 F1 bond area as well.
That's very helpful. That provides context. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do any of you have an idea of what the total state debt will be with the completion of this legislative session? And relative to that, do we have an analysis of how much debt we're going to incur, including the potential passage of Measure 29?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator George, you know, current debt outstanding is approximately $2.2 billion in general obligation bonds, and we also have revenue bonds outstanding.
Right.
We have an appropriation-style bonds. Which
do you have a list of all those?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'd appreciate your comment.
Okay, we'll provide this to you.
Yeah, back to the second question, the total amount of debt that will be incurred by the time we complete this session. Any idea the increases we've had here plus the potential for Measure 29?
Well, certainly, Senator, Measure 29 obviously is a significant amount. When we're taking a look at state debt and we're comparing ourselves against other states, the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission, which looks at this matter and provides advice to the legislature and the governor, takes a look at what's called net tax-supported debt. So it's not When you take a look at total debt, what you want to do is divide up debt into those programs that are self-supporting and those programs that are not self-supporting or tax-related. When we take a look at net tax-supported debt, it's considerably less than the total debt outstanding. So when we're adding these things together, we need to add apples to apples and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're...
I'd like to get the total number, though, because I think relative to the Constitution of the State of Oregon, it's important to me to at least know that, what the total debt of the state is, because I think it's relative to what is happening within the growth of state government.
I'll get that to you.
Okay.
I'll get your list. It would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Well, let's go back to staff.
Okay. I will walk you through the first part of the memo, which are amendments to the bond capacity. And just let me say once again, this bill doesn't appropriate funds, doesn't include limitations for those things. What it does is it sets out the bonding capacity for certificates of participation, general obligation, dedicated funds, revenue bonds, and private activity bonds. So, and they do, it does carry out budgets that you have, in fact, approved. As Greg spoke about the amendments to the bill in his presentation, they are each outlined in the memo I placed before you, dated August 19th, relating to House Bill 3446. What the amendments do is take the contents of this bill, House Bill 2345, which was the original bill for the bond capacity and approvals, and makes changes to them in the -3446-1 amendments. And it really just makes seven changes to House Bill 23, the contents of House Bill 2345. And they are outlined in the memo on pages 1 and 2. Each of them correspond to the amounts that that Greg spoke to for each of the capacities. You can see that the changes for the Department of Higher Ed are from $81 million down to $56.7 million. Environmental quality from $6.6 million to $10 million. Department of Administrative Services from $110 to $120 million. And Higher Ed from $380 to $345 million. Under the revenue bonds, as Greg indicated, those are increased from $175 million to $290 million to accelerate the highway improvement projects. And the lottery revenue bonds are increased from $18.5 million to $132 million. And at the very back of the memo is a table that summarizes how the $132 million is arrived at. And we will talk about these again in the lottery, probably during the context of the lottery allocation bill that Robin will walk you through in a little bit. The certificates of participation, originally they were asking for about $148 million in authority to issue COPs. In the amendments before you, and as Greg discussed, the capacity requested to be increased was to $201,895,000. And in the memo, I walk you through the changes made by each of the subcommittees relative to those projects to get you to that level. And there was one additional change just made this afternoon that's not reflected in the memo that I would ask you to increase that capacity by another $10 million for the potential use of certificates of participation by the public employee retirement system to implement on a fast-track basis the changes made in the PERS system that relate to the pension obligation bonds and the successor plans, primarily the changes to the PERS system that you've approved as well as the successor plans. But there is the potential for an additional $10 million in COP authority that may be necessary to do that. I'm not asking you to approve that today, but give the bond authority, bonding authority that DAS has in this bill, allow for that. It would take a subsequent action either of this body or the emergency board to have that actually occur. But it's in order to set this capacity, it has to be set by the Legislative Assembly, and it would be prudent to allow for that now.
So we, if I may, staff, so then on page 2 of our memo, under certificates of participation, other financing agreements, where it says page 3, line 14, delete 148, 465, 000, we would insert to 11,895.
That's correct.
000. Okay, thank you.
And below the table that's on that page two of the memo, I've just given you a brief narrative explanations of what happened in subcommittee to cause those COP authorization numbers to change. Each of these were approved by the subcommittees in Ways and Means, the full committee, and many of these bills have passed both sides. These actions support those budgets. That is all the changes to the bond authorization portion. The next section of the bill, starting on page 3, walks you through the changes to the lottery bond capacity. I will turn to Robin.
Yes. Mr. Chair.
Yes, questions.
Question, what's a private activity bond?
This is a capacity that the state has to issue tax-exempt bonds for private local government use for various projects. And it's a standard issuance that we do in this bill. There's no changes to that portion. I may have Greg come back up to the table to talk a little bit about the primary uses of the private activity bonds. Just to give a brief explanation.
Mr. Chair, again, my name is Greg Jeffrey. I'm the finance manager with the Department of Administrative Services. the federal government covets very strongly the giving of credit to local and state governments that is exempt, from federal income taxes. primarily, it's used for government core functions, that to serve. In some instances, there are private, entity benefits, that have been made exceptions to the tax code, which permit these little windows for local governments and state to access what's referred to as private activity bonds, whose interest is exempt from federal income taxes and therefore costs, the issuer less. to do some of these functions, and as a consequence, of that, they put a cap, on the level that can be available to state and local governments, and it's capped either by the size of the population, of the state, or a minimum level. If the population, doesn't exceed, the population against the per capita calculation doesn't exceed what that minimum is. the current cap, is set at $75 per person. The way the state has gone about this and the way that it's kind of outlined in the bill is there are certain state agencies who operate lending programs that rely on private activity bonds, to make those dollars available to their clients. And so, because of that reliance, a certain portion of what's estimated to be the private activity cap available to the state during the biennium is recommended to be set aside, for those particular agencies. Those are economic development, housing, Department of Energy, or Office of Energy. And the balance of the cap that's available to the state is allocated to what's identified in statute as the Private Activity Bond Committee, which is made up of three parties. The Department of Administrative Services is representative, the state treasurer is represented, and a private citizen is appointed. And through the course of the biennia, applications are submitted to that private activity committee who then makes the decision about how the balance of the cap, is utilized, primarily for local level projects like local housing authorities, things like that.
Great. further questions for Mr. Jeffrey? Thank you very much. Robin.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Greg has walked you through most of the lottery bond pieces. I'll just hit the highlights of what's in the sections. Section 3 authorizes OECDD to issue the remaining $28.5 million of the $194 million in bonds authorized in prior biennia for infrastructure projects, $27.7 million for Columbia River Channel deepening, and $750,000 for ecosystem restoration projects in the lower Columbia River that was authorized in 2001. Section 4 adds the Oregon Business Development Fund to the funds from which lottery bond proceeds may be loaned or granted for infrastructure projects. Section 5 clarifies that channel deepening bonds may not be issued until conditions are met, including congressional authorization and commitment from the state of Washington for its share of the cost. Section 6 authorizes an additional $2 million in lottery bonds for short rail improvements through ODOT. Section 7, 8, and 9 authorize and establishes the conditions for issuance of the $35.3 million in lottery bonds for the South Metro Commuter Rail Project. Sections 10 and 11 authorize and establish the conditions for the issuance of $8 million in lottery bonds for industrial rail spurs. Section 12 authorizes issuance of $3.5 million in lottery bonds for small port projects and deposit to the Marine Navigation Improvement Fund. Sections 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 relate to the Marine Navigation Improvement Fund, channel deepening, credits to the fund, and creation of the channel deepening debt service account. And Section 18 adds an emergency clause. And as previously discussed, I know that the signature research centers at the Department of Higher Education are authorized in House Bill 5028.
Question, Senator Harper.
Could you refresh me on the Oregon Business Development Fund?
Mr. Chair, if I might, I would like to have the department explain what they are doing with that.
Sure. Please come forward.
I'm sure I know it. I just forgot.
Chair Schrader, Senator Harper, members of the committee, my name is Mike Burton. I'm the Community Development Manager of the Economic and Community Development Department. One of my responsibilities in the past included managing our business finance activities. The Oregon Business Development Fund is the largest of our business finance tools, and we believe that sometime in this biennium, particularly if we get aggressive in terms of marketing the program and trying to provide capital for businesses to create more jobs, we will reach a point where there is no money available to lend. All of the money will be out. It's something on the order of $30 million revolving. So we're identifying a need and a potential to use a little bit of the lottery bond proceeds to make sure that we don't run out of money.
Right. We've had this for a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when it was created, but it's been over 10 years. It's probably 15 years. It's been 10 years since any additional capital was put into the fund.
Another funding source, perhaps. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Burton. Senator Winters.
Just a question. When you said that you're going to have an aggressive program to work with businesses on capitalization, how aggressive are you going to be?
Chair Schrader, Senator Winters, I'm not sure. I can't remember the targets because it's been so long since we presented this question to the Ways and Means Subcommittee. But the department expects to significantly increase activity in this area. I believe the job creation numbers we're projecting off of this activity are on the order of 3,000 in the biennium.
3,000 of the biennium if we get started right away. Is that?
Chair Schrader, Senator Winters, we do have money in the fund now and are actively marketing the program. I would add that in the last biennium, we sent records for our business finance investment.
Are there any obstacles in the way of individuals not accessing the program?
Chair Schrader, Senator Winters, I'm not sure exactly what you're getting at. I would say that The department's loan programs are designed to increase the opportunity for businesses to get funding. And specifically, in the Oregon Business Development Fund, we are organized to take a subordinate loan position in order to get a bank to a position where it can make a loan that it otherwise might not make. In the Oregon Business Development Fund, the department will make a loan no more than 40% of the amount of the project, and we're looking for a bank to be in a senior lien position on the collateral uses. So I think it's a good tool.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure here, but in looking at the language that's put in, the conditions that have to be met prior to sale of the bonds for Channel Deepening, the state of Oregon approved based on conditions, and it would seem to me that those conditions would need to be met prior to sale of the bonds. And what I'm not sure is whether the language in here covers it. I don't think it does, but I'm not sure. So I guess that's my question.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, council can attest to the fact that we have spent quite a few hours trying to make sure that this language was precise enough to cover the anticipated issues. It's on page 11 at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have specific concerns, the representatives of the Port of Portland are here and could probably speak to that. But this is based on the combined efforts of our council and also the Department of Justice.
Okay, and I'll tell you, Mr. Chair, where my concerns stem from. Excuse me. Earlier this year, the agencies had a deadline for making a determination on this project, and an extension was granted and taken. But prior to that point, I was informed by the governor's office that the state was prepared to issue these bonds in May of this year. Now, the extension took away the need to do that, but this is a project that has ongoing hurdles to get over. And the state of Oregon has just added to those hurdles when it gave approval based on some fairly significant conditions. And given the rush that was there earlier this session to sell those bonds, it made me really nervous. Because if we sell the bonds prior to the all of the hurdles being gone through, the best we can do is put the money in the bank, and we're going to receive a lower interest rate than we're going to be paying out on that. And so I am anxious. I know there are a lot of people anxious about this project, and I'm not suggesting we do anything to delay it here. I'm only suggesting that we ought not to be selling the bonds until we get through the hoops that the state has put up for approval. And so I'm just trying to make sure that that was all in here.
I think that's a good point.
Chair Schrader, Senator Dukes, if I may. I haven't seen the language you're looking at. I just glanced through a draft of the bill. I do know that in statute, and I don't believe changed by this bill or any of the amendments, are a number of conditions prerequisite to the department requesting Treasury selling the bonds. Those conditions have not yet been met, and we cannot sell the bonds even if the state regulatory agencies were to approve the project at this point. There are additional actions that need to take place before we can sell the bonds, so a May sale was not possible given statutory restrictions.
Okay, then let me ask this. Is it your belief that the agency would not sell the bonds until conditions set by the state of Oregon had been met?
Chair Schrader, Senator Dukes, it is absolutely my promise and conviction that we will not sell them until we meet the letter of the law.
Good answer.
Well, I don't know about the letter of the law. It depends on which law you're looking at, but thank you. That's all I need.
Is going to jail.
Further questions, discussion for Ms. Lamont?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordley?
I did hear something that is interesting. I'd like to follow up on it with the department. So this is to give the department notice, Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. Hearing that 3,000 jobs
are to be created in the next biennium. Did I hear that correctly? Was it 3,000?
For the business plan.
Right.
There was a nod out there in the audience, yes.
Okay. Leads me to want to see the plan that goes along with that targeted outcome. If you could provide that, please.
Mr. Thank Burton you. Is nodding his head in the audience as we speak. And I think all the committee should probably receive a copy of that.
Thank you.
And staff also. That would be very helpful in our deliberations. For
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Winter.
I just want to go back to the request that Senator George made on the total state debt and that breakout, and I hope that they break it out from what the growth has been with the COPs. So that we have some sense of the growth of it and what the debt is within the COPs themselves.
Good comment also. Mr. Smith is nodding his head to that in the audience also. A lot of positive people out there. I'd like that. All right. Well, if there's no further questions, then the chair would entertain a motion to move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3446.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that's been moved. Is there any? We're in work session, incidentally. Any objection to that motion by Senator Devlin? Seeing none, so ordered. We have to have an amendment, as staff pointed out on page 3, line 29. And I'm sure Senator Devlin would like to move that we add $10 million.
Oh, I already did.
He already did. See, look at that. It's going to be, that line will be $211,895,000 then after. Senator Devlin's amendment. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And we need a motion to move House Bill 3446-1 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass. And Senator Devlin is doing that. Any further discussion? Senator Devlin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I'm voting in favor of the bill. I had wished that it had included funds for some of the ETAC projects. It doesn't at this point. I'm hopeful that in the closing days we can still address some of the issues surrounding that.
Good comment. Very fair comment. We're trying to do that in another vehicle, actually. Any further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 3446, as amended, goes to the Senate floor. It will pass. Carrier will be Senator Devlin.
Well, gee, thanks.
All right. We'll move to House Bill 50.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Devlin.
Can I have 5 staff members to answer questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm surprised. I thought Senator Harper was going to move that.
He was thinking about it.
Yeah.
He was just on the edges right there.
That was close.
He was close. House Bill 5067A, relating to state financial administration, sort of a companion bill here.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, in front of you have a memo from me outlining what is included in the bill. You have a spreadsheet front and back that shows both the allocation and limitation for lottery funds, and then you have conceptual amendments that will need to be adopted and stuffed into House Bill 5067. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll walk through my memo.
Okay.
The sections 1 through 18 of the bill, the lottery allocation bill, allocate lottery funds according to expenditure plans in appropriation bills. This includes $77.4 million for OECDD, $263.1 million for the State School Fund, $21.1 million for ODOT for debt service on rail projects, $5.6 million to DHS for gambling addiction, $3.7 million to the State Fair for debt service, $53.3 million to the Department of Education for debt service, $4.5 million to Housing and Community Services for debt service, $34,000 to the Department of Administrative Services for transfer to the Department of Agriculture for County Fair Administration, $2.5 million to Department of Administrative Services for transfer to County Fairs, $1.6 million to Department of Administrative Services for debt service on OPB projects, Department of Higher Education for debt service on facilities, $3.1 million. Department of Higher Education, allocating sports action estimated at $4.9 million, Office of the Governor for Economic Revitalization Teams based on passage of Senate Bill 467, that's $610,000, and $25.4 million to the Department of Administrative Services. This allocates the $2.5 million, excuse me, video poker revenue to counties. Section 19 describes the process and priority for satisfying debt service obligations. Sections 20 through 23 adjust lottery funds expenditure limitations in budget bills where there were subsequent increases or decreases, and Section 24 is the emergency clause. And with that, I'll take questions. Yeah, that's what I said.
Cool.
Thank you. And I
have. Okay. Any questions for LFO? Basically, this is just the allocation bill for lottery investments we've been talking about all session. A variety of different budgets you all have served on the subcommittees for. I don't think there's anything surprising here.
Exceptional, just the budgets.
Question, Senator Devlin.
I'm just asking myself a question.
Okay, that's fine.
I was wondering if the conceptual is simply the deletion of the section.
He's mumbling to himself.
All right, well, in the course of the night, we're going to open a work session then on House Bill 5067A.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Are you, are there any corrections that were done here at all?
Yes. There is Section 25, a recommendation to delete that section. I was asking for limitation that is not required because it will be handled as a revenue transfer.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin, question?
I think I'll defer to Senator Carter.
The other question I guess I had was that the document we're working off in our packets is House Bill 5036. That's obviously meant to be 50.
Mr. Chair, that's why I introduced them as conceptual amendments. The original bill number was as listed on the amendments. My recommendation will be a getting stuff into 5067. So these are conceptual amendments to 5067.
Great.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Senator. Move to adopt the handling plus conceptual amendments and the handling plus amendments delete unnecessary limitations for DAS to distribute video lottery revenue into the counties.
Further suggestion? Any objection? Any discussion? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Clark.
Move to replace the content of House Bill 5067A with the handling plus conceptual amendments.
Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 5067A as amended to the floor with a good pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Carrier?
Carrier? Senator Carter?
I don't mind.
I'm not willing to be good.
Okay.
Purple. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Robin's last bill, she just said to me, but I can't, but you can't say blah, 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 blah.
So noted for the record. So noted. Okay, well, thank you very much. Good committee today. Stay on notice for tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have more bills to work on. Meeting adjourned.
That's a good one.